RadioArchives.com presents Crime's Last Stand, An Adventure of Dan Fowler by C.K.M. Scanlon, read by Paul Curtis. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kendall and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy gun lead. And now, Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, Crime's Last Stand.
Chapter 1. Crush Out. In a secluded office in the splendid Department of Justice building on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, two men looked thoughtfully across a desk at each other. Alert, keen-eyed, decisive, the director of the famous National Police Organization, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, approvingly surveyed the bronzed, rugged-looking young man with irregular features, gray eyes that could gleam with mirth or go cold and hard as steel.
"If anybody can do the trick, Fowler, you can," the director said crisply. "We're up against a rotten menace. There have been 3 prison escapes so far, escapes that have been engineered with an ingenuity that will tax out every resource. And always that damnable drawing left behind, the symbol of the man who is the guiding genius, the key man." Inspector Dan Fowler nodded. "I've read the reports on the cases, Chief. There's money, plenty of money, behind these escapes. Each of those prisoners was a man who either had a fortune stacked away somewhere or had friends who'd be willing to chip in. The key man is a godsend for them, and he stands to clean up a fortune unless we can stop him." The fast-moving, quick-thinking director looked grimly at his ace special agent.
"There's more to it than that, Dan," he said. "Do you realize what this man can do once he gets into full swing? At present, he's dealing with money men, prisoners who have been convicted of swindling charges, mail frauds, and nonviolent crimes. But suppose he gets it into his head to start releasing habitual criminals with long records of violence and gangster activities. Suppose he gets the idea that he can form an organization of notorious criminals, public enemies it has taken us years to round up and put behind bars. All our work undone, to do over again. Dan, I tell you, this key man is a menace that we have to stop right now. Fortunately, we can enter the case. The man has effected an escape from a federal penitentiary. The state prison authorities have been helpless and have appealed to us for aid. Well, we'll give it to them. I'm putting you in charge of this case, Dan, and I expect you to break it." There was a wealth of confidence in the director's brisk tone, and there was good reason for it. For more than any special agent, Dan Fowler had contributed to the FBI's reputation of never failing, to that G-heat which criminals feared more than a sudden quick death. And Dan Fowler's tremendous energy in prosecuting offenders against the laws of the country had become a model, a goal for all officers of justice. Here was a rotten cancer on the face of the United States, a cancer which threatened to undo much of the splendid work of the FBI, and if anybody could root it out, Dan Fowler was the man.
"Something has come into us," the director continued, "something that may give us just the lead we want. Malcolm Guys, the stock swindler, who's at Bington Penitentiary, has had some contact with outside sources. The warden of the prison is convinced. I've got his report here. There's nothing much to go on, and the warden says he can't put his finger on the person who's doing the contacting in prison. But you may be able to do something from that angle. So get to it, Dan."